Good morning to everyone. We will begin with introductions from the court. I am Mike Havikin, the Chief Justice, and now by order of seniority, as to service on the court, the other members of the court will introduce themselves.
Good morning. I'm Lindsay Miller-Lerman.
William Castle. Good morning.
Stephanie Stacy. Good morning.
I am Jeff Funk. Good morning.
Morning, Jonathan Papik.
And John Friedenberg.
Thank you, members of the court. And our first case of the day is actually two cases combined for oral argument, In Re Guardianship of Allie K, and In Re Guardianship of Ray Lynn K. And the attorneys are on Zoom. So good morning to our participants on Zoom. Ms. Long, are you there?
Yes, Your Honor.
Very good. Good morning to you. And Mr. Tabor, good morning to you.
Say it again. Good morning, Your Honor.
Do either of you have any questions before we begin?
No, Your Honor. Thank you.
Can you all see us?
Yes, Your Honor.
And hear us?
Yes.
Good. And likewise, we can see and hear you. So with that, Ms. Long, you may proceed.
Thank you, Your Honors. If it pleases the court and Mr. Tabor, I am the attorney for Mr. and Mrs. Tammy and Tony King. They have been the court-appointed guardians for Callie and Ray Lynn since November 2017. Some quick background. These are paternal grandparents who have filed for TPR about 5 years after the initial guardianship proceeding. There were several hearings leading up to it wherein mother had attempted to terminate the guardianship. It was never granted by the lower court. Then back in late 2022, the guardians filed for permission to seek an adoption and alleged certain allegations to support their request. That authority was granted, and that's because under the adoption code, if a child is under the jurisdiction of any other court for whatever reason, that court has to give its permission. The county court granted it.
The initial guardianship appointment was by the county court sitting as a probate court or sitting as a juvenile court?
As a probate court, Your Honor.
All right. Thank you.
Yep. And so it was originally filed under Chapter 30. And pursuant to Chapter 43, the adoption statute's provision has to be granted. It was granted. Then a formal motion to terminate parental rights was filed, properly served. A rights advisory was given to Ms. Bollinger. We then set the TPR trial date, and the TPR trial was then held. The court, lower court, had basically inquired whether or not it had jurisdiction. Our position was it does. And eventually you saw the court order. It said only the state or a guardian ad litem under a removal case could file for TPR, or if it was filed under Chapter 42. We've appealed that, essentially saying that, first of all, this wasn't filed under a removal case. It was not a Chapter 43, subsection 247.3a. Therefore, the first argument from the court did not apply. There are grounds. There is a child support case order. Evidence showed in the TPR trial that the guardians were receiving child support. However, the guardians went ahead and said, we have standing to file this. Basically, first of all, there does not need to be a required or prior adjudication under a removal statute to seek termination of parental rights. The case law and statutes have been very clear. In re Joshua M. from 1999 said, plain and ordinary meaning of relevant statutes taken together is that parental rights may be terminated in an original proceeding. it doesn't imply, require, or contemplate prior juvenile court involvement. In re interest of Brooke P also said that in 2001. And then another case in 2005, in re Preston P kind of confirmed that. So we don't have to have a prior removal to get jurisdiction. Second to that, Your Honors, guardians as defined by Chapter 30, subsection 2628, and then further 2613, simply says guardians stand in lieu of or have the same powers as a parent does. And as a statutory interpretation is a question of law, this is something you guys get to determine and interpret the law. Again, because there's no requirement for prior adjudication, it can be original action, therefore more than just the state and GAL can file. This is very noticeable and understandable because private people such as
parents, I beg your pardon, I would like to ask a question if you would. This is Justice Miller Lerman. I know there's a little bit of a delay, so forgive us. You referred to two different sections within Chapter 30. I think one of them, did you say, was 2616? Is that what you said?
No, I'm sorry, Your Honor. The first one is 2628.
Right.
And that's where it says the guardians have the same powers as parents. The other statute I referred to was 2613. In which it says guardians.
That answers my question. So kindly let me form a question, and I know there's a bit of a delay. The reference to the 2613 would be in that section that pertains to guardianship of minors, whereas your reference to 2628 would be in a different collection, which refers to incapacitated persons.
Yes, Your Honor.
Right. So we're mixing and matching, but echoing Justice Castle's question, right? This was a guardianship for minors. They're not incapacitated people.
Well, they are by definition of their minority, Your Honor. They're unable to discharge decisions.
The guardianship was not created under incapacitated 30, 2617 to 2629, correct? They were a guardianship of minors.
Correct, but it was originally alleged as incapacitated because of their minority. They are unable to discharge those duties and obligations for their own.
Let's not set aside what's a minor, who's incapacitated, because we're trying to start from the go. As the good witch says, let's start at the beginning. So this was commenced as a guardianship of minors, right?
It was, and the caption specifically.
Right. Okay. Thank you. So moving along to the authority that you may or may, there may or may not exist for the grandparents to seek the termination, has the county attorney given permission for this action?
No, because again, it's not a removal action that requires the county attorney's consent.
Thank you.
Yes. The other areas I would point out, Your Honors, is that under the Chapter 43, the court sitting as a juvenile court has jurisdiction over parents, guardians, and custodians, and that's specifically defined under subsection 5 of 247. Obviously, there are guardians they're putting this for before the court for the termination.
Follow up, please, on Justice Miller Lerman's question. As I understood your response to her questions, you were asserting that minority is a form of incapacity under our guardianship statutes. Did I understand your response correctly?
Yes, Your Honor.
Now, how do you square that with the definition of incapacitated person in section 30-2601 sub 1, which defines incapacitated person with a laundry list, but says after the catch-all other cause, except minority? Doesn't the guardianship statute expressly contradict your argument about the application of incapacitated person statutes to minor children?
I guess if you're looking at it strictly, then yes, Your Honor. However, I will argue to the court that 90% of guardianships that are filed because of a minor allege they're incapacitated because of their age, and therefore they are unable to make contracts, arrange for medical care, things of those nature. So I argue that they can be interpreted the same, and that's where it was filed initially.
Do you agree with the proposition that for the grandparents / co-guardians to proceed with the termination they seek, there must be a statutory basis for doing so?
No, I disagree, Your Honor. And the reason I say that is because there's so much interplay between chapters 42, 43, and 30, and those specifically define who can be involved in those particular proceedings. And chapter 43 specifically says a lower court can access, or excuse me, have jurisdiction over parents, guardians, or custodians. And then again, 292 says a TPR action can be an original action. If a parent can file for TPR to get a step-parent adoption, there's nothing to say that a guardian can file for that. And there's nothing that expressly says parents have the authority to do that, yet no one has ever said they couldn't do that in this particular case. So it implicitly means that if the state GAL can under removal, but that Chapter 43 says the courts can access or exercise jurisdiction over a guardian or parent custodian, and the guardian stand in lieu of a parent have the same rights and obligations as a parent, they have the authority, the ability to file for an original action of termination of parental rights. And with that, Your Honor, I guess what I would say is if it's only required that a state or GAL file, then there's going to be hundreds and thousands of adoptions that must be reversed, because again, there's nothing explicitly saying parents can do it, yet parents do it all the time for a step-parent adoption. And the same would be then if guardians can't do it, parents can't do it, then we've got to reverse hundreds of thousands of adoptions that have been approved by this court, by lower courts, and the things of that nature. So with that, Your Honor, I see my—
I beg your pardon, is there a specific statute that authorizes step-parent adoption?
Your Honor, I see my time is up. May I have an opportunity to respond?
You may.
Thank you. The adoption code again says if you're going to have a step-parent adoption, there's certain things that the parent must do to achieve that. But there's not a specific provision that says parents can file TPR just like a state or GAL. And I think it's important to remember that the state and GAL must do it if it's an action based on a removal. That's necessary, and that's not applicable in this case. And more than that, In re interest of Boyles from 1979, an old case, says the first five provisions of the TPR statute can be filed by anyone. If you get into subsection 6 of that, talking about reasonable efforts, that's implying that you have to have an original adjudication under the removal statute. But this is not a removal statute case. Step-parent adoptions are not removal statute cases. So if step-parents can do it, and guardians stand in lieu of a parent, guardians implicitly have the same rights as the parent and as the state as GAL, depending on which case it started out as or which statute it started out underneath.
Thank you very much, Mr. Tabor.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Again, you may proceed.
Yeah, my name is Len Tabor. I'm an attorney in Gary, Nebraska. I'm court appointed to represent the mother, Sarah Ballinger, in this case. I would like to take up some of the argument in the appellant's brief. She refers to section 30.2613.1c, which gives a guardian's explicit power to consent to adoption. That's true, but again, there's no specific statutory authority for guardians to file a TPR on their own without the county attorney's consent. Her brief also quotes sections 43.132 to 135 and 43.146.06.09. I've read those several times. I don't see the relevancy to be tied into this instant case. I believe if the legislature intended to allow guardians to file a TPR, then it should have specifically set that out statutorily, which it never has. 43.247 says that only the county attorney can initiate a TPR under sections 1 through 4 of that statute, very specifically, okay? Her brief also cited the case of State versus Nathan P. 10 Nebat 577. That was different than this case because in that case, the county attorney filed the initial action and had to do with the question of, can you do a TPR without a prior adjudication, which was held you don't have to. She also mentioned or cited JS versus Grand Island Public Schools, 297 Neb 347. That was not a TPR case, but the court held that the parties cannot confer subject matter jurisdiction by either acquiescence or consent, nor may subject matter jurisdiction be created by waiver, estoppel, consent, or conduct of the parties. Now, we did not object to this initially, okay, but that's irrelevant because we don't need to. The last case I'm going to talk about that she quoted in her brief was In re Joshua M. 256 Neb 596. That was a little bit different because, again, that was a case where the county attorney filed the case, but the court did say that considering a series of statutes pertaining to a certain same subject, they may be considered and construed to determine the intent of the legislature so that different provisions of the act are consistent and sensible. And I'm suggesting that if you try to commingle sections 30, 42, and 43, it's kind of a hodgepodge. The court went on to say in that Joshua case that unless the legislature has plainly indicated a contrary purpose or intention, when a statute specifies the object of its operation, the statute excludes from its operation every object not expressly mentioned therein. In that treatise, which I cited in my brief, it had an interesting question. Does DHHS have the authority to initiate termination proceedings? Because after all, they are part of the state, quote unquote. Of course, the answer is no, but the treatise went on to say it could have. If the legislature wanted them to have that authority, it could have easily provided for that within the Nebraska Juvenile Code. So I believe it's a reasonable assumption that the same theory would apply with respect to guardian or guardians. This under 43-292-02, the state has a duty to file or give consent if another party files a termination. The only time it cannot do that is if, number one, the parents are financially unable to provide health care, or number two, the parents or parents are incarcerated. Nothing else. It's a very specific statute. And I think that what the appellant is trying to do is somehow backdoor the combination of those three sections, 30, 42, and 43, and come up with a new theory. And I believe it's a case of first impression. I've not found any other, but again, there's no consent by the county attorney. It was never attempted to get a consent. And I would...
What is the policy reason behind getting the county attorney's permission in a case like this?
Well, I assume so that everybody's on the same page. And again, if the county attorney can't do it for some conflict of interest, then the attorney general's office can do it pursuant to that same statute. By a contract with the attorney general's office and the local county attorney. I don't think it probably happens very often, but it's statutorily provided for. And again, there's no specific statutory authority for a guardian or guardians to file a termination case without the consent of the county attorney. And they simply didn't even try that. I think they just chose the wrong method to try to attempt what their ultimate object was to get termination of parental rights of my client. And based on that, I would respectfully request the court to affirm the judgment of the county court sitting as a juvenile court. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do we have any time for rebuttal?
No, Your Honor.
We do not have any time for rebuttal. So, counsel, that concludes arguments in the combined cases of In re Guardianship of Callie K. and In re Guardianship of Ray Lynn K. And I want to thank you both for participating and for participating by Zoom. That's an option we give you all. And so we appreciate your taking advantage of that. If you need to Ms. Long, I just want to say one thing before we actually move on to the next case. Appreciate your argument. At one point, you referred to the court as you guys, and we appreciate it if you do not refer to the court as you guys. But with that, counsel, you are excused, and the court will go on to the next case of the day, which is Gallardo Hernandez versus Martinez Durantes.